This message was recorded at Leeds Vineyard during a Sunday morning service. Please feel free to copy it or forward it if it's helpful. We pray that it may be God's word in season for you today.
I want to move on and I want to wrap up our series in Exodus. The Exodus story starts where we often start. God seemed a long way away from the people of Israel. Sometimes God feels a long way away, and sometimes we don't know who we are, and they didn't know who they were. And sometimes we don't seem to have the power to live flourishing lives, and they certainly didn't. I don't know about you. Have you been in those places? I've been in those places. Times when I'm in a financial mess, or when I've let people down, or there's been illness or loss. Life is just not very good. I end up asking questions. Why am I here? What am I doing? Does anybody know me? Does anybody love me? I get reminded of that line from The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, you know, when Tumnus says to, what's her name, the girl, Lucy, it's always winter and never Christmas. Sometimes life feels a bit like that. And Exodus starts where Genesis left off, with this group of people who are now slaves, who feel abandoned by God. And then, as I've said several times, there's been a very great redemption. Dumbrell describes that Exodus like this. It's a transition from slavery to worship, accomplished through a very great redemption, a setting free, an encounter with God. And we've covered, looking through Exodus with that mindset, we've also just dipped into eight themes, obeying God's call in our lives. That's what Liz started off with Moses and Pharaoh, and then Anne talked about gnats and other parts of the power encounters of spiritual warfare. And then Alex explained to us about the Passover and the blood of the Lamb. Sally taught us about the principles, the words, the Ten Commandments, a way of living that God reveals to us. We looked at the worship of the willing, how his glory comes, and then how we respond in worship and in our giving. And last week it was Easter, and we talked about death and resurrection, the model of the coming through the Red Sea, the Passover, the new life that the people of Israel went into, the new life that we're given following Jesus' death and resurrection. And today we finish with God's glory and his presence and his power. Angela, why don't you come and read to us from the last chapter of Exodus? So if you want to find Exodus chapter 40 in your Bibles, verses 34 to 38.
Then the cloud covered the tabernacle, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. Moses could no longer enter the tabernacle because the cloud had settled down over it, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. Now, whenever the cloud lifted from the tabernacle, the people of Israel would set out on their journey following it. But if the cloud did not rise, they remained where they were until it lifted. The cloud of the Lord hovered over the tabernacle during the day, and at night fire glowed inside the cloud, so the whole family of Israel could see it. This continued throughout all their journeys.
Thank you. So it's a very different place they've ended up in from where they started. And this is God's word to us, and it's absolutely right, and it's given to us because he loves us. Thank you, Lord. I just want to just wrap up Exodus with using the framework of the kingdom, power, and glory theme, which is our theme for the year. Because I think the Exodus story helps us seize on these three dynamics in a really interesting way, I think. It starts with, in Exodus chapter 6, verse 6, where the Lord says, I will free you from your oppression and rescue you from your slavery in Egypt. He says this to the people as they cry out to him. I will redeem you with a powerful arm and great acts of judgment. Power. We need power. And I said at the beginning that the power, when I introduced kingdom, power, and glory, power is the manifestation of God's authority. So there's a conflict in the story of Exodus. There's power encounters between the gods and Pharaoh, Ramesses, and Yahweh. Who has authority here? And the result of that power encounter was freedom for the people of Israel. And they got on with their wandering and their journeying. Where are we in this? Where are you crying out for God? Some of the what was going on after worship was articulating that. Where are you? Where are you seeking freedom like the people of Israel were? The people all around us are crying out for God. Some show it and some don't. But when we're in that place, what we need is a power encounter. That's what we have. And the question mark is over who has authority in your life. Between the gods and God. Who has authority in your life? Is the authority in your life actually money? That's what dictates your decision-making, your time allocation, the direction of travel in your life. Is it money, the accumulation of money? Is that where you get your security from? Does that have authority in your life? Or is it popularity? Making sure that people love you and agree with you and that you agree with them and that everything is smooth and people like you. Is that the authority in your life? Is that what controls the way you behave and the way you think and the decisions you make? Is it your children, those of you who have got kids? Are they the authority in your life? His Majesty the Child? Is it the pleasure-seeking self in us? That's the underlying ideology of our age, isn't it? Happiness. Seeking happiness, seeking pleasure, is that our God? Is that to have authority in us? And are we willing to submit that to the authority of God? Because when that happens, there will be a power encounter. That doesn't happen easily. There's a battle. And in our friends and family, they are similarly in places, those who don't know Jesus, they're similarly worshipping other gods. And if we want our God, if we want Yahweh to have authority in their lives, there's going to be a power encounter. And the thing is this, is that when you give Jesus authority in your life, when he dictates the direction of travel, the decision making, your priorities, your time, then that releases power in your life to defeat other gods, the enemy. So it's really important that we say yes to Jesus Christ as Lord. That yes, that giving him of authority, releases his power in our lives. That's power. Then there's glory, which is all about the presence of God. It's all about the manifestation of God's holiness. That's what glory is, at least in one understanding. So in Exodus 40, 34, we just read this. The cloud covered the tabernacle. The glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. Moses, poor guy, he's worked hard at this, and you'd think that he'd be allowed to go and go to the tabernacle. He can't get in. Because the cloud had settled down over it, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. This presence of God, it isn't just like a nice feeling. It's like it's not sort of an intangible sort of woo-wee type of thing. This presence of God in the tabernacle stopped Moses getting in the building. You can imagine him wandering up to the gate as usual, because that's where he normally was, is inside. Those of you who read it, he was inside, he would be in the presence of God, his face would shine, and he'd go out and he'd have to cover his face. He wanders in on Monday morning as usual, and he hits something. He can't get in. There's something about the presence of God which is very physical and solid, and something that changes us. It's not just ephemeral. Of course, we can't see and experience all of God's glory. That's 1,000 and more removes away from us. But the beauty of this Exodus story is that the transcendent, all-powerful God, glorious God, comes close to us to be with us. Through all our wanderings, even in his holiness, He reveals himself. That last word in that passage that Angela just read to us, the very, very last word in the Hebrew is movement, the journeyings, the departures. And there's this sense that when God has come and rescued his people, they're on a journey. They're going somewhere. They're going to, the picture in the background is the Garden of Eden to be reformed. And we get to that in Revelation. Anyway, we'll not get distracted by that. It looks forward to Jesus Christ, who leads us out in an even greater exodus towards freedom and a new creation, like we sang earlier on. Because of the presence of the Holy Spirit, it's a bit like we sensed earlier on, we can know the presence of God in us and among us and in all places. Whereas the people of Israel could only really observe from a distance and have this sort of physical thing going on, they were awestruck and grateful that God had come close, that despite his holiness, he'd chosen to reveal himself. Through Jesus, he goes further. So Hebrews 10:22 tells us, draw near to God. We're invited to draw near with a sincere heart and a full assurance of that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled and cleanse us from a guilty conscience. So whether we're on our own or whether we're together like this, that's why we invite the Holy Spirit to come. He's inviting us into his presence, and we invite him to come to be with us. He wants to be involved in every part of his life. I was standing at the back of that gig last night, and I just watching the people dancing in front of me. Those days are past for me. I was leaning at the back with my hearing aids turned off, and I was just watching people, and I just got a sense of how much Jesus loved them. All these indie fans doing their thing. I don't know what's going on in their lives, all this complicated stuff, but Jesus, I'm sort of walking amongst them, having a good time. Just, he loves them. He loves you too, so much. The end book, the last book in the Bible. Have you read the Bible? It's a really good book. It's well worth reading. Get to the end. Revelation 3:20. Jesus says this to us. He says, here I am. I stand at the door. I'm knocking. Open the door. Let me in. I'll come in. I'll eat with you. Because God has chosen you, as well as your friends and your family. He has chosen you. Jesus has died for you, so that you can open that door and the Holy God comes in and you can experience his glory in your life, that manifestation of holiness, cleansing us, changing us as we wander with him on our journey towards the new creation. One thing leads to another. God's glory manifests his holiness. We need this power encounter to sort ourselves out and to put him in authority. We'll read all about that in Acts in the next few weeks. And we have this power encounter when God has authority in our lives, and then we sense his presence amongst us and in us, especially here on a Sunday, especially in our own, in our devotions, in our small groups. So that's power and glory. Just very quickly, I want to talk about the kingdom aspect here. The kingdom, I said, is the manifestation of God's rule and reign. So at the beginning, the Exodus people, at the beginning of the story of Exodus, the people of Israel have no identity, no national identity. It's been debased, debunked. They were just an enslaved people without a king, without a kingdom. But God gives them an identity. In Exodus 5, verse 1, and it repeats several times, God says through Moses to Pharaoh, through Aaron, he says, let my people go. Who are they? What's their identity? They're God's people. That's where their identity comes from. Our society is obsessed with identity politics. We're so self-oriented that we reserve the right to give ourselves any identity we choose. We lay claim to an identity in order to get our place in the world. We identify ourselves with politics, Brexit, Remainer, with sport, Leeds United. with food. I'm a vegan. I'm not. I'm illustrating the case. I'm a vegan. That's me. Our nationality, our sexuality. And that's not a comment on those as being good or bad. You can vote Brexit. You can be a Leeds United supporter. That's not a problem. It's when that becomes your identity. When they eat away at our awareness of our true identity, which is denoted, given by, spoken by God. Let's just remind ourselves of one of the wonderful Psalms. Angela, come and read this for us, would you? Psalm 139.
For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body, all the days ordained for me, and were written in your book before one of them came to be.
Isn't that beautiful? Beautiful. Psalm 139. So important. So important, brothers and sisters. So important that you know that your primary identity is as a citizen of God's kingdom. That you are known by the person who created you, made you, named you. You are loved by him. And you're expected into his creation. You are sons and daughters of the King. That's your identity. That's your place in the world. So Exodus ends with the people of Israel regaining their true identity as the people of God, citizens of God's kingdom. The passage that Angela read at the beginning, it finishes with the cloud of the Lord hovered over the tabernacle. At night, fire glowed inside the clouds so the whole family of Israel could see it. This continued through all their journeys. So there's this sense of this people with this identity of the family of Israel, family of God, and at the center is a tabernacle with the God who gives them their identity. The kingdom is the manifestation of God's rule and reign. God's rule and reign is manifest in our life. God's rule and reign is manifest in the community of faith in this church. Because we are God's kingdom. We are in God's kingdom. Peter writes in 1 Peter 2, he writes, "But you are a chosen people. You are royal priesthoods." He's riffing directly off this story when he writes this. "You are royal priests, a holy nation, God's very own possession. As a result, you can show others the goodness of God, for he called you out of his darkness into his wonderful light." Once you had no identity as people, now you are God's people. Isn't that a fantastic phrase? Once you had no identity, now you are God's people. Once you received no mercy, now you've received mercy. So the Exodus story starts where we often start. God seems a long way away. We don't know who we are. We don't seem to have the power to live flourishing lives. In fact, we are enslaved to pleasures and addictions. And then comes this very great redemption. A rescue, a setting free, a power encounter. In the Exodus story, which provides us with a type and a simile for our own story, that's how we read the scriptures, God works through Moses and then creates this sanctuary where he can dwell amongst his people and they experience his presence. In our story, the presence of God is experienced as Jesus Christ, forgiving our sins by his sacrifice. Revealing his power, revealing his purpose for this life and the glory of our eternal life. We experience the presence of God as the Holy Spirit filling our hearts and lives and minds, body, soul, dwelling in us every moment, every meter of every day, convicting us, changing us, guiding us. We experience the presence of God as the Father, as sons and daughters of the King, as citizens of the eternal kingdom. So let the Lord come and give you his identity. Let the Lord come and free you by his power. Let the Lord come and reveal himself, his holiness and his glory in your lives. Why don't you stand? Let's just pray together, shall we? We've been waiting on the Lord. We waited on the Lord in worship, and that's wonderful. If things have emerged out of that, or what I've been talking about, which you'd like us to pray for you about, or if you've just come with anything else today that you seek prayer for, then at the end, when I pray at the end, then just come down to the front and we'll find somebody to pray with you. And this is one of the important parts of what we do when we gather together, is to pray for one another. It's important to be somebody who's doing the praying as well as being prayed for. But let's just wait, and let's just think in terms of the lordship of Jesus in our life, the authority in our life, the giving us identity by following him. And I want to pray a prayer which I invite you to pray with me, which is basically saying yes to Jesus Christ as Lord. Maybe for the first time, maybe for the 100th time. I want to pray that prayer, and then I want to stand in silence for a moment, if you're able, just to ask the Lord to speak to us about where's the power encounter going to come? Where does he need to express his authority? Where's change due? Lord God, it's hard to imagine that you would do such a thing, that you would come close to us in Jesus like this, that you would send your Holy Spirit amongst us. Why would you do that? We know it's because you love us. You draw us to yourself. You stand at the door and want to eat with us and be with us. So Lord, I once again just say thank you, and I just, I'll say the words and I mean them as best I can, Lord, but I know it means lots of things have to be done and to change, but I declare you to be my Lord. You are my Lord. And I say sorry for those things that have come between you and me and have watered down my following of you. And I pray that you would reveal yourself in your authority and your holiness, that you would come into my life, that you would change me. Forgive me. May I walk with you, hearing your voice. Give me eyes to see and a mind to know when the power encounter is in play. Change me and strengthen me, I pray. We all pray, Lord. Amen. Amen. The presence of God is here. He's doing lots. We'd love to pray for you.